Blog Talk Radio.
Out there listening, first thing, let's give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. If you're quiet on the line, give God some praise.
Thank
glory,
you,
hallelujah. Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
yes.
you, Jesus.
Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Today, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the holy experience in a story. It shall be narrated with Sister Beverly, Sister Andrea, and myself. You will be blessed, relax, and enjoy this time together as we tell the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Before we get started, Deacon Chapman, can you open us up in prayer?
Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, in the name of your mighty Son, Jesus, we thank you, first of all, God, for life. We thank you for breath. Thank you for each and one that you touched and woke this morning that is able to listen to this radio program and listen to the stories about to be told about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our healer, our counselor, our Prince of Peace, and our provider. And Father God, we thank you for that you saw us steeped in our sins, Father, through the channels of time. And you gave us your Son, that he would come and be the ship to steer our lives, to give us a quiet entrance into the harbor of love. And as we enter this coming celebration of your Son's birth, which we have no father record of it, but we do celebrate your Son, we thank you. And as we always look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that you so loved the world, that you gave your only begotten Son. And Father, I thank you. And I pray that this radio program, Father, will continue to be in an enlightenment, that it would touch hearts, Father. Bless Brother Bryant, Father. Touch every nerve, every muscle in his body, Father. Heal him, Father. But I know all these things will be done according to your will, Father. And, oh, Father, as I come before you, you're living in dangerous times. But we can have comfort in you as we enter into your peace, because you said to Paul, through the Spirit to write in 2 Timothy 1:7. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I pray that that power that you've given us, Father, will give us the strength and the courage to choose the right course in life. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister Beverly, you can go ahead and start.
Okay. Everybody's able to hear?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I praise the Lord for this opportunity to be a part of what's about to transpire here today, as my sister Faith and my sister Andre and myself will be a part of just sort of narrating the story about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and just what this Christmas is all about. And, you know, when we were children, many of us can recall having a story read to us, and it was always usually the words "once upon a time," and it told about something, how something began, and it tell about all the details that went into it, and then you get to the end and there's some type of a conclusion or ending there, or if it was a series it would carry on into another book. Well, you know, God has given us his word, and we as people have a beginning. And so with that as a backdrop, let's get into telling this story about what this season is all about that we are in. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that are in them. He created all kinds of life, and some life he created was flying in the air, some lived in the water, some that crept and walked and ran on the earth, and some living under the earth. And after having everything in place that God had created, he created the man Adam, having been made in his own image and likeness. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. God gave to Adam intelligence, and Adam was able to name every living creature that God had created. God placed Adam in a garden known as Eden, and his job was to care for it. God saw that all his creations that he had made, all his creatures, that they had mates, and God saw that a mate would be good for Adam as well. So he put Adam into a deep sleep and removed one of his ribs and formed a woman, Adam's wife Eve. And God blessed their union and told them to be fruitful and to populate the earth with their offspring and to subdue it and to have dominion over the earth and all life that God had created. So the garden that they lived in had an array of fruit trees that Adam and Eve could eat from. There was one tree that was in the middle of that garden that God forbid them to eat. God warned them that the day that they ate of it, they would surely die. Now Eve, with her husband close at hand, was in a conversation one day with who we know as Satan, who once was a high-ranking angel in heaven. Because of his wanting to be as God and wanting worship unto himself, God put him out of heaven. Now, Satan had one purpose, and that was to drive a wedge between Adam and Eve and God. So Satan challenged Eve about God's command to them, and he said, "Surely, you can eat from the tree in the middle of the garden and not die." And then he went on to say that God knows that when you eat of the tree, you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Now, at this point, Eve became enticed, listening to a voice other than God. The suggestion that Satan planted in her mind gave her doubts about God. She then looked at the fruit from the forbidden tree as something that she needed to try, something that would make her wise. She took of the fruit and ate and gave to her husband, who ate as well. immediately their eyes were opened to know they were both naked before each other, and they sought fig trees to cover themselves. This direct disobedience to God brought their sin into the equation, an equation that would cause them to die. And this sin nature would show up in everyone. Their sin also upset the rest of God's creation. But praise be to God that he knew this would happen and already had a plan that he shared to them in the garden. That plan would be God himself coming to this earth in human form to be the one-time sacrifice for all mankind. Now, at this point, I'm going to turn the story over to Faith as she continues on with this story.
Thank you, Sister Beverly. There will be much hardship and pain and struggles among people on the earth as God works through these difficulties and used many men and women to speak and write of his coming to earth as a baby. God used the Jewish people to make himself known on this earth. He used the Jewish people to show through the giving of the Ten Commandments and through animal sacrifices that would be needed a Savior to be the sacrifice for our sins. No one could live up to following all of the commandments, and animal sacrifices had to be offered over and over. Thirst and endless fertility. There had to be one who could take care of being a sacrifice that would cover all sins, past, present, and future. Thirst, that would be accomplished by God coming in the flesh as baby Jesus. Now, a young virgin Jewish woman named Mary was selected by God to be the one by whom he would come onto the earth. The Immaculate Conception will be by the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon her to produce this miracle. Mary was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Both she and him were approached by an angel from heaven about this matter of the virgin birth of Jesus. Joseph was told to go ahead and marry her and not to be intimate with her until after this miraculous birth. They were given orders to name him Jesus. Now Mary, after becoming pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, went to visit with an older cousin of hers whose name was Elizabeth, who was married to a man named Zechariah. They were in the older years of life, and Elizabeth was pregnant. When Mary walked into the presence of his cousin, the baby who Elizabeth carried leaped in her womb. This child that she carried is who we know as John the Baptist, who would do his part in preparing people about the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. As we move on, while Mary is still pregnant with Jesus, she and Joseph had to make a trip to Bethlehem for the taking of a census. And while on this trip, Mary began having labor pains, and she gave birth to the baby Jesus. And now we're going to go ahead and have Sister Andrea tell the rest of her story.
In that same region were some shepherds. An angel appeared to them, announcing the birth of the baby as the Savior Christ, who is the Lord. Suddenly, there also appeared a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. After the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds decided to go to Bethlehem to see the child who had been spoken of. So the shepherds found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the Christ child that had been revealed to them lying in the manger. The shepherds went back praising God for what they had heard and what they had seen, as had been told to them. When Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised per God's command for all Jewish baby boys. He was taken to the temple to be presented to God, as was the law of Moses for the firstborn male who opened the womb. The firstborn male would be holy unto the Lord. Also at the temple was a man named Simeon, who was holy and devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. When he saw them in the temple, he took Jesus into his arms and praised God. He said, "Now your servant can go in peace, as my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon declared Jesus to be the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Mary and Joseph were amazed at these words. Simeon then blessed Mary and Joseph. In the temple also was 84-year-old Anna, who was a widow and a prophetess. At that moment, she came and gave thanks to God. When they had done everything according to the law, they headed back to Galilee, to their town of Nazareth. Their Christ continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we knew that at the age of 33, I'm sorry, we know that at the age of 33, Christ gave his life, that all who accept him as Lord and Savior will have eternal life. Christmas is all about God having given the world the greatest gift of Christ Jesus, who is today, tomorrow, and the next day, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have a few more minutes, and if you guys have any questions or comments, or you want to just add a scripture or anything to the story.
Amen. Well, I just want to praise God, because in this season, so many people forget what the real true gift is. And it's not about scurrying all around into the different stores, and it's not about all the decorations and all, but it truly is about receiving a gift from God. And that gift is God himself, for he is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And God thought so much of us as human beings that he wanted to give us a gift like no other gift. And I say it's just a gift that keeps on giving, and that was the gift of himself, or the gift of him that he went upon a cross and would die for this world so that we could have eternal life, for those of us that will say yes to that calling. And so I just think it's just awesome. It's a priceless gift. It's a gift that can't be compared to none other. People may talk about gold, and people may talk about silver, and people may talk about diamonds, and people may talk about the rare this and the rare that, but people have got to know that all of that stuff is going to be passing away. But the real true gift that God gives to us, for those of us that would accept him as Lord and Savior, it's a gift that will live for an eternity, that will go on into eternity. It will never stop to cease. It will never cease. And so I just bless God's holy name, because he and only he could come up with a gift like that. that outlives any other gift that anybody on this earth could ever present. So I just praise God for the greatest gift ever given for those that would want to receive it. And that's another thing I emphasize here. In order to have a gift, you have to have a heart to want to receive that gift. And that gift is offered to the whole world. That's something that can't be disputed. It's offered to the whole wide world. Jesus Christ can be anybody's gift if you will accept it. And I just praise God on those words.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly. Just like Deacon Chapman said in John 3:23-16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
This word speaks for itself. It's just a powerful scripture. And I got to thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ as well. Your relationship with the Lord, once you open up your eyes and realize the gift that you have, and just like Sister Beverly said, it never ends. It never ends. It's fresh and brand new each and every day.
Amen.
And so, I'm just encouraged, and, you know, just like I woke up this morning, is a gift. The things that God
Amen.
Has bestowed on us each and every day as we wake up, if you open up your eyes, you can see those gifts. And it's just
Amen.
the confirmation of who he is. The daylight,
Amen.
The sunshine, the air that we breathe, the word, the Bible, everything. He gives us gifts each day to let him know who he is and how much he loves us.
Amen.
Amen.
Does anybody else have any more questions or comments? We have a few more minutes.
Well, when we look at the gift God gave us in the form of his Son by separating his spirit and put it into a flesh of humanity that he created when he created Adam, we have to look at the dedication that and explore the story of Simon that was spoken of before, and his commitment and his immerseness of joy that he felt, and how he committed himself to make Jesus the center of attention during the circular business of this season, as we call
yeah.
it, this season. See, we took the word holy day, changed the wide eye, and said holiday.
I know. We Amen.
Said Christmas, but it was Christ Mass. It was a
Mass.
Celebration
Amen.
Of
Amen.
God has given us. So what we have to look at, to me, is our joy is increased when we receive something we've been longing for. See, Israel
mm-hmm.
had always been longing for, well, the name Jew came on after they had their exile in Babylon, the tribe of Judah, and they took on the humorous teasing of them, calling them a Jew, so they took it upon as a name of their religion. But
Amen.
Anyway, and the experience that you have received is something which you have been longing for, just like you may have longed for, just say, a certain pair of shoes, and then all of a sudden, mom and dad gifts you with that unbeknown to you. See, but no, man had known and been prophesied in the Old Testament, was preaching, that the coming of the Savior. Isaiah said, "For by his stripes we are healed." We always look at physical healing, but we have to look at first God wanted Israel to be spiritually healed. We have to be spiritually healed, then the physical come in. But sometimes, according to God, we might not completely heal us 100%, but as long as we got that power, that love, and a being of a sound mind, his grace is sufficient, and we take that gift that he gave us in the form of his Son and carry that in our heart. In other words, like your heart may have a recline in it, you ask to come into your heart and rest and to walk
Amen.
With you, to be with you, and not so focused upon the decoration, as was said before, in the trees and the hills, but focus on that God is a sustainer of life through his son, because he said, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that might, to some people, that scripture might not refer to them as the party season, but to me, I am the way, the truth, and life. I come to show you the way back, Father. I came to give you the true word of Father. And if you follow my commandments, love one another, I love you, and follow the teachings that I've given to my apostles and my chosen vessels that was recorded in the scriptures, you can enter eternal life with me at that veil that I ripped in the temple when I gave up my ghost on the cross. See, and the cross of Christ, the word of God, should be your focus and the core of your life. And so we take this gift and embed it not only in our memory of repeating it, but embed it in our heart. Because David, I hide in my heart that I might sin against thee. But the thing about it, do we have the word of God in our heart?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Brian, do you have any comments?
Amen. Amen.
Well, also, do this gift, too. It's embedding that spirit in your temple. So you say, know ye not that, in Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in. So, you know, we will recite that, but do we shine that light that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us? When we walk in the room, that light should so shine that someone will, the people there will know that Christ is in your life and you abide in him and he abiding in you. Because you are now that walking temple. Peter talks about a walking stones. And the thing about it, have we consecrated our life as males and females into the redeeming ship that Christ died? Because I think, to me today, the church has lost its focus and went to sleep and forgot what Christ died, came into his world, walked this earth, and died for, and depend upon the world for the existence.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The body of Christ is not worldly. He says, come out from amongst them, separate yourself, don't be evilly yoked. Because if a church is found on the being unequally yoked, if a marriage is started on being an equal yoke, a friendship, it's going to fail.
Yeah.
You can't put an oxen and a jackass together to plow a field.
Mm-mm.
No.
See, so the thing about it is that we have to be on a oneness with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we have a lot, we talk about the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and that's the Spirit of Christ. And we have to abide by the teaching that he gave us. A lot of, there's not a lot of teaching on the epistles. Say you read the second Corinthians, sixth chapter, you get an embeddement of what Paul was expelling from the word that was given him to the Holy Spirit about us. And in the last verse there, I think it's the 17th verse, it explains the argument from verse 1 to verse 17 in 2 Corinthians 6 chapter. And see, we have, what I'm saying is we argue and we debate a lot on scripture, and people say, well, I believe. But you very hear someone say, this is what the word of God says.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. Amen.
You know, because God is the architect, Jesus is the builder, and the Holy Spirit is the guide. And it is, then Jesus, Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
So God is speaking to your spirit. But your spirit has to be connected with his spirit, so his spirit can be connected with your spirit. And you've got to constantly have a prayer life. You got to believe that Jesus was born, Yeshua was born of a virgin, because God purged that temple to produce his son as a vessel to produce his son into this world, because Joseph, they say, was supposedly the father. That was what they had in the community. So a lot of people still had that jacket on them that they had intimacy, and she got pregnant before their betrothal, their publication of their marriage. But here's the thing about it. You have to have belief. But first of all, you got to develop faith and belief, then conversion, conviction, and conversion. And the thing about it, do you believe this story? And it's not a story, it's a biblical fact.
If Amen.
God is dwelling in you, you have to look at the facts there.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
So if sin is not the most pregnant thing that we encounter, it's our unbelief.
Amen.
And by not studying the word, so you can't give what you don't have. You have to take this word and embed it into you. You know, it's like when you're praying in a group, you hold hands. You're making a, say, a circle of faith there, and you're showing expression that everybody that's clapped in hand has that faith and they're praying in faith. You know? And if you don't ask the Father for nothing, how do you expect to get it? He knows what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he gave you the Son. He knows you needed a Savior.
Amen.
So
Amen.
He gave you
Amen.
One.
Amen.
He was rejected
Amen.
Because he looked just like them.
Now,
if he'd have rolled in,
if he'd have rolled in Jerusalem
on a white stallion prancing down there with a white linen robe embedded in gold fringes and a crown on his head, a gold hound, double-edged silver sword, they may have never said, crucify, crucify him.
Amen.
But he didn't. He rode a donkey.
Amen, Deacon Chapman. Amen.
He came as a suffering Savior because Adam had to suffer for his rebellion. Cain had to suffer for killing his brother. He shedded the first physical blood in Genesis. That's why I was telling Sister Andrea to read the 9th chapter of Genesis. You are not supposed to touch or destroy God's image. Kill it. It is his
Amen.
Body.
Amen, Sister Deacon Chapman.
He created that. So you have to have a dedication to what you say you believe.
Amen. Deacon Chapman.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to have to end now, but Deacon Chapman is going to be doing our next show, Bringing In 2016. You guys get your heart and mind ready because he will be speaking on that.
Amen.
Not the week of Christmas, but the week after. And I want to thank Sister Beverly and Sister Andrea for the story and being a part of it. I love both of you guys. I'm so glad that you both are in my life. And I just
Amen.
Thank God. I thank God for both of you guys.
Amen. Thank you for
together.
You too, Sister Faith.
Amen. And so, Deacon Chapman, can you close in prayer?
Yes, I will. But I'll also tell you, study up on the subject is going to be, what is the church and why is the church?
Amen.
Who your background?
Amen.
What it? Pardon me? But, oh, Father
Amen.
God, we come before you, Father, at the end of another session. First of all, thanking you, Father, for your grace. Thanking for your justification, mercy, your salvation. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. And, oh, Father, I just can't give you enough thanks. And those listening to you today, I'm sure they cannot give you enough thanks, not only for waking us up, Father, for the blessing that you bestowed upon us from the day of conception to this present moment, Father. I thank
yes.
you. I thank you that you would like you touch Brother Brian. Anyone that's listening here, Father, that has an ailment or infirmity,
yes.
I pray, God, that you would touch and heal, Father, in the
yes,
mighty
name. Lord.
Bless Sister Faith, Father, in this program that you've presented, Father. Bless the speakers that have spoken today, Father. Bless
yes,
the listeners.
Lord.
And I pray, Father, that their hearts will be open and continue to open to be fed, and not fulfilled, but constantly be fed, Father, because once
yes,
we,
Lord.
We get lazy, but constantly get this diet of this word, have an appetite for it, Lord. Lord, we love you. And Jesus,
Amen.
I thank you that you walked this earth. I thank you that you went to the cross on Calvary with your outstretched arms and said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And, Lord, I think about the cross that most in the Roman era was made like a T, but this particular cross and the other two malefactors had that cross pointing towards heaven, Father. And I pray that heaven would wake us up. And may everyone be blessed the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 You guys all have a glorious Christmas.
Amen. You as well, Sister Faith.
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Okay. Also, you,
I love
Brother
each and every one of you guys.
Okay. Amen.
Have a blessed day, everyone. God bless.
Sister Andrea.
Peace and blessings.
God bless.
Bye-bye.